Sabbath blessings, everyone. If you can kneel, we will pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us with your presence again on this Sabbath day. Thank you for the changing of the showbread in advance, and for blessing us last night as well when we gathered. Thank you for also blessing every single soul that's on our prayer list, because many of them are deep within our hearts and we are very concerned for them. Thank you for the burden that you put there that allows us to reach out, even if it's only in prayer. Because we may be the only ones that are praying for them. Strange world we live in. But thank you for letting us be here at this time to see all the prophecies come to fruition. Thank you also for bridling my tongue and any tongue that speaks. Blessing everyone that's in need of salvation or just repenting hearts. Thank you for also giving us good work to do to go forth and bring in the sheaves, as they say. And thank you also for keeping that strong hedge of angels around us as individuals and as your son's bride. Because these are troublous times that we are living in, and we know it's going to get far worse. And so thank you for the trials that help us get there. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your son, who is our Savior and King, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. I don't know what's up with this mic stand. Hold on a second here. It's getting loose again. Tighten this thing here. It was just all the moving around. I've been doing a lot of videos. So, anyway, we're on question number 16 of lesson 31, which is all about when all the religions unite. And, see, this is one of the reasons all the churches have stopped. Well, all the Protestant churches never really did teach prophecy, unless, of course, you count the Jesuit delusions of the secret rapture, seven-year trib, and all those other strange things that they put out there. Which, by the way, and this is what I was hinting at in the most recent video I did in regards to Trump meeting with the three largest, quote-unquote, religions of the world, even though they're not really religions, they're just cults. There's a strong possibility, and Craig and I were talking about this, and there is a strong possibility that they're going to start to push forward on their false prophecies. And the reason I say that is because why else? Now, this could just all be a smokescreen, just like they did with Israel. You know, like everybody seems to think that they're the chosen people. It is a smokescreen because we are the chosen people, according to the Bible. And instead of protecting us, as what they so-called claim have a desire for, they protect the Jews, who aren't really the chosen Israel. You know, replacement theology is a fact. It's in Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament. But these false prophecies, I mean, why else would all the churches, with the exception of the Ninth Hour Church, for some strange reason, but still, all the churches say there's going to be a seven-year trib, then in the midst of the seven-year trib, there's going to be a break on the peace treaty, and then Antichrist shows up to stop everybody that's surrounding Jerusalem, right, or surrounding the Israelites. And what's to stop them from doing this now? Because all the churches preach that falderal. It's nowhere found in Scripture. It's all made up. It's actually part of the gap theory of Schofield in his notes in the what was it, the 1890s of that King James that he put out with the notes in it. I actually have a copy of that one here with all those goofy notes just to show people how dangerous that book is. But and so they could very well come out, like the secret meeting that that Trump had with the Pope, and he's not saying what they were talking about. They usually don't. They're not going to, because it would cause, you know, revolt and civil wars and just plain war. But there's a strong, we're watching this. In other words, Craig and I, and I'm sure other students of prophecy are watching it too, that if they come out saying that there's a peace treaty between the Muslims and the Jews for 7 years, watch what will happen in 3.5 years. Because we all know, those of us that study the Scriptures, we know there is no such thing as a 7-year trib. It's not in Scripture. It's a bold-faced lie. There's not even going to be 7 nanoseconds. It's what I like to call the oldest trick or the last trick Satan's going to play on mankind. And so if they come out with that, watch what's going to happen in 3.5 years. They're going to act like the peace treaty was broken, which they'll break, obviously. And then the Muslims are going to surround Jerusalem, and it's going to look like it's all going to be over with. And then, bam, a fake Jesus shows up. So that is what we're watching for if they do that. Now, they might not. You know, it might be enough for Satan to be happy that they're all preaching false prophecies just to keep the confusion out there. But for them to push it the way they do, and the way that that big guy, that large guy from Hagee, from Texas, the way he preaches it on a regular basis, and none of it can be backed up with scripture. It's just all opinion and twisted prophecies. So keep your eyes on that, but keep it in your keep praying. But we are in some exciting times, and I like the idea of being here because of the just it makes it that much easier to share the truth with those that really are true seekers. I'm not talking about the, you know, there's a lot of weekend Christians, you know, the type that they only act holy on Sundays or Sabbath with, you know, some of the SDA types. So anyway, we're on question number 16. And this is what this study is about, all the religions uniting, which they have. And now, and some people even go so far as to say that was the three frogs of Revelation jumping on the same lily pad. There is some truth to that, but it's not in that definition, you know, because the Bible actually lets us know who those frogs are. But anyway, what three additional charges are laid against her? And this is, of course, talking about the mother of harlots, the whore of Babylon, whatever you want to call her, the Roman Catholic Church, you know. And it says in Revelation 18, verse 3, it says, "For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies." Now, the study goes on to share the following, and I'd like to address each one step by step. Okay, first is the wine. It says this in the study. Among the false doctrines which all nations have drunk, the most serious is that of Sunday observance, which tramples upon God's fourth commandment. Because all of us know as Christians, real Christians, there isn't a Bible verse from Genesis to Revelation. As a matter of fact, the Catholic Church went out and admitted it in a little book called Rome's Challenge to Protestants. And that's what more or less was the started their ecumenical charge back in the 1960s with the Vatican II Council. And so they went out there and says, look, there is no Bible verse that says you guys should be going to church on Sunday. We invented Sunday keeping, and only Catholics should be going. All the rest of you should still be keeping the seventh-day Sabbath because you say you follow the Bible, because there's no verse that says you shouldn't. And so, but still, the most serious among the false doctrines is indeed the Sunday Sabbath of the man of sin in Rome. But to quickly summarize for those among us that have recently left the apostate churches, we also see that all the churches teach eternal. Now, in other words, this is that the wine or the false doctrine, because in wine and prophecy is doctrine, and so they're drunk on the false doctrines of Rome, and so we all see that all the churches also teach eternal life and hellfire, immediate life after you die. In other words, you don't just lay in a grave sleeping like Jesus said about Lazarus. No, you go straight to heaven. And by the way, think about that. If you really went straight to heaven at death, like they all preach, I would think Lazarus would be a little angry at Jesus, wouldn't you? Because, hey, come on, I was up in heaven for 4 days, according to their theology. But no, he wasn't. Jesus would never pull him out of heaven just to make a point or even to glorify himself like that. No, because he wasn't there. Heaven doesn't start like that. Now, there are people that go in a different order. We do see that in 1 Corinthians 15, I think, verse 23, every man in his own order, you know, first, you know, the first fruits then. But you know, we know some of them by name, Enoch, Elijah, and Moses. Then, of course, our Lord and Savior, King Jesus. And so, and then, of course, the 24 elders, which are the ones that came out of the graves when Jesus did, and they went into the cities and told everybody the great news of what just happened. So, but they all preach, all these false churches out there preach eternal life and hellfire, because even though the Bible says sin begets death, they say, oh, no, 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 you're still alive screaming for all eternity in fire, which shows the character of Satan. That's not the character of a loving God. And then immediate life after death, and then they poison, and then they also say it's perfectly okay to poison the body with everything from alcohol to cigarettes, and it's not to be considered sin now. Even though the Bible says, you know, you destroy this temple that I gave you, then I'll destroy you too. And, I mean, it's right there in 1 Corinthians 3:17. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. And since science already proved tobacco in all forms, as well as alcohol, actually does kill people like a slow poison, they have recently discovered, through generations of research, not just a couple of years, but generations of research, that unclean foods of the body were called unclean for a reason. Today, all those that indulge in such food die from a myriad of diseases, and it's all easily prevented by a simple change of diet. You know, and I like to praise God for that too, because I've run across many people that had, they were on death's door and they changed their diet, and all of a sudden, it takes a little while when you do that. Could take a few months, even a few years, depending upon how old you are. And or even look at the diabetics that go from being diabetic to no longer diabetic in less than a week if they just drastically go to all raw, you know. But there you got to be careful. You get a bug, like a virus, or like somebody has a cold in the family or something like that, because your body's going to crash and it's going to come back up. But while it's crashing, your immune system, while it's going down, you don't want to catch a cold, because it'll knock you for a loop. That happened to me. I went all raw once before, and I caught a cold, and I had to sleep sitting up because I had more or less, I guess, pneumonia. I guess that's the only way I can describe it, is like water in the lungs, because as soon as I laid down, coughing like crazy. So I just went to sleep sitting up for like 2-3 days, and it was fine. But some other false doctrines, of course, like I mentioned in the video, as well as all over the website, are the secret rapture theory that the Jesuits cooked up in the 18th century and then popularized near the end of the 19th century so as to both counter the Reformation, you know, of Luther, Martin Luther, you know, the sixth hour, so as to bring the souls back into the Church of Rome. It was also taught so as to make the Church of Rome seem like a protecting influence, since they recently received their mortal wound in 1798. So they had to cover their bases. They had to make it look like, hey, we're Mother Rome. We'll take care of you. Look, all these other preachers have no clue about the seven-year trib thing or the secret rapture thing. We did. We reveal it to you. Now, look, that proves we have information that you need. But no one's reading Bibles or understood them the way they should, and they were able to twist the daylights out. Like today. Everybody seems to think that when Jesus gets here, it's going to be 1,000 years of peace. And so that's why it's widely taught by all leaders of the churches in today's world, because that doctrine helped him to garner the souls into hell 2,000 years ago when Jesus arrived as Messiah. In other words, like I always say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. It's just like with anything else in the world. Well, Satan's going to be more or less have the same mindset. Like if something worked, he's going to use it again. And so when Jesus showed up the first time 2,000 years ago, they thought that, you know, he was going to come and be muscle-bound and take care of and destroy Rome. That's why the apostles were a little bit shocked, because they fell for that falter all too. He had to re-educate them. This is one of the main reasons Jesus came, was to let them know what the Bible really said. And so it was taught and believed that when he came, he would end Roman rule, and it would be a long age of peace, would be the end result. But the wolves on the pulpits today preach the exact same thing. Even though the Bible says when Jesus returns, the only reason he's coming is there's going to be 1,000 years of peace on earth, is because of Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 17. It says, I will bring distress upon men. They shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord. And their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung. But both Jeremiah and Revelation speak of this day wherein the lost will lay rotting on the surface of the earth, as the birds shall eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and all them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, small, you know, both small and great. That's Revelation 19:18. So, and then, of course, the seven-year trib. This is another false or piece of wine or glass of wine. The seven-year tribulation. It's easily thwarted by simple Bible study. This is why I have more than one study about this online. I do believe that. And I have said this many times, but I do believe this is the last great lie pulled on mankind. While he waits for the 7 years to start after the Christians supposedly disappear, he figures, well, hey, he can get his act straight then. And by the end of the 7 years, because he'll know the exact date that Jesus is coming, because, which, by the way, the Bible says that's not going to happen, right? But he'll hang his hat on that because, you know, the prophecies were, even though they never look at it in the Bible, they only hear it from these wolves on the pulpits. It says, well, when the Christians disappear, you're going to have these 7 years. So that gives us 7 years to get our act straight. But there's not going to be 7 years. It won't even be 7 seconds to repent. When that eastern sky rips open, they're going to die and lay on the ground for 1,000 years, resting in what they called peace. And it really is going to be peace. So there is some truth in it, but it's a twisted truth, because there really is going to be peace on earth for 1,000 years, but that's only because everybody that causes war is dead. And by the way, I hope to find the time one day to show how Hal Lindsey and other false prophets that work for the Jesuits have been caught lying. In their books, they list many end-time prophetic events that must happen after the so-called secret rapture during the seven-year tribulation period. Okay, and they actually borrow from actual prophetic events in Scripture to try to give some, you know, lend some credence to their theories. Because that way it looks like they're actually using the Bible. Because all this other falter, all it ain't in the Word. So they'll actually bring up some prophetic events. But the problem is, most of their so-called futuristic prophecies have already been fulfilled. But they never seem to address that whenever you ask them. You know, I can go on and on, you know, regarding the false doctrines of the church today that, you know, cover everything from once saved, always saved to the Trinity, but I believe you get my point. The wine of Rome has made all the churches very drunk to the point, all of them, and this includes the Ninth Hour, Seventh-day Adventist Church, they all declare the Christian-hating God called Allah is their God all of a sudden. And they keep saying, well, no, wait, that's just a Muslim or Islamic word for God. Really? Check out my video where I first put up there the first time when Dwight Nelson got up there and said that Allah is God and you know, you should never fall for the lie that it's anything else other than that. And it was a Christmas sermon. You can see the Christmas trees and all that other pagan stuff behind him. Nobody seemed to have a problem with that either. But here's the problem. Yeah, they mention Allah and act like he's the God and that's the name for God and all this other stuff. But that, if that's the case, why does the word God, G-O-D, show up in the Quran as well? See, they never address that either. If Allah is the name for God, then why is the name God also used in the Quran? Which means Allah is not the name for God, it's the name for that demon that they're possessed by that tells them to go out and kill themselves and, you know, kill Christians as many as possible. And look at the perversion all behind it. These guys are doing it because they're going to be able to have all the lusts of the flesh when they go to heaven. Now, how is that heaven? That's planet Earth. That's the way the world is. It's all about the flesh down here. Because these guys are blowing themselves up because they're going to have 72 virgins to do what they want with. Again, they're belittling women. They do it in life, and now they think they're going to be doing it in eternity, but that ain't going to happen. Anyway, the next thing is the study then goes on to say that the kings of the earth, and then it says this, it says Protestants are becoming increasingly involved in government affairs. This relationship of religious groups with the kings of the earth is threatening the wall of separation which must exist between the church and state. When this wall is removed, the results are fearful. Well, I looked, and I found that the author of the study copyrighted the study in 1997. This is why, and the only reason we're using the study is because before, years ago, when we were associated with some other folks that were have, you know, stepped off the path, we didn't realize they were using these studies, and we just conglomerated them. And at first they all looked great, and I went through them, but I never read the notes, because this is more or less the study I did to get baptized or rebaptized many years ago. Never looked at the notes because I just wanted to go into Scripture, answer the questions, get baptized. That's why I was able to get the study done, all 33, yeah, I think in 4 or 5 days. I just did them all. And this is also why I had to buy the CD to actually use the study online. Because you can't, according to him, I wasn't selling it, so there's really no copyright infringement, but I just did it. It was only a few bucks. That way I can have permission to use it online as a structured study for new church members that sought baptism. And this is back in 2010, of course, when we started really going with it. But, I offered this study for the new members because it's the same study I did. And I, when I got rebaptized, and so, and that was 22 years ago, it took 2 years before I found someone to baptize me. And even though the man that originally gave me the study so he could baptize me never did as promised, because I did the study in less than a week, and I contacted him and says, okay, I'm done. He figured it, you know, it was an SDA mainstream minister that promised to baptize me by the name of Doug. I'm not going to say his last name. All of you know him. But praise God, it never happened because I don't want to get involved with that because later on I found out there were problems there too. I was very green when I came into the Sabbath truth in regards to what's going on behind closed doors. And I praise God for my Catholic upbringing because it allowed me to see how that type of manipulation and that type of archival deception over they got all this stuff behind closed doors and the hierarchy of Rome is in all the churches, including the SDA church now. So I have to assume that the copyright date on the CD is actually older than the original books that I received in 1995. But it does say 97 on the CD or DVD. Maybe it's an update. But anyway, the reason I shared all that is because, did you notice? In mentioning the kings of the earth, the author is speaking about something that was soon to fulfill. Yes, most of the churches back then already joined with the state under the 501c3 contract, but it wasn't until March 7th, 2006. So that's definitely after the copyright, but that's 2006 that President Bush made it law that all the churches with the 501c3 would become government agencies. And as we are about to see with all the religious banter in the news and Trump being president, who during his campaign declared he would give all the churches power to lobby laws if elected, things are about to speed up towards Sunday laws. That's why I did the video I did about Trump in his 501c3 comments 5 months before he actually won the election. And that's why I said what I said in the video. He's not going to change the 501c3. He can't. It's prophesied. It's the image of the beast. He's got to rewrite it. And so the video is on, you know, YouTube, of course. It's only 6 minutes long. But anyway, moving onto the final point in this study, in the study question, that is, he says, the merchants of the earth. And it says, the prophecy predicted the economic factors were to play a significant role in the end-time religious political issues. What a sad picture of modern religion. Although the Protestant reformers followed every ray of light they had, the organizations that bear their names have failed to advance into fuller light and have fallen from the purity of the faith which they once held. The truth here is it's all connected to the 501c3. As prophesied by our Lord, the preachers of today will be more interested in the cash offered by those sitting in the pews than their souls. And this is why Rome's 501c3 idea that was drafted by soon-to-be President Lyndon Johnson in 1954, but only by assassination. It was easily enforced for 52 straight years. Satan merely dangled the golden carrot in front of those preachers of filthy lucre, which is preachers of filthy money. And they signed on to the 501c3, which offered them money, more money in taxes, you know, tax write-offs, than the rest of us have to pay, including myself. Because I don't have a 501c3, and I don't, even though the Constitution does more or less say that being a full-time minister, my income is supposed to be tax-exempt, but try to explain that to the IRS, that's crooked to begin with. You know, I tried for a few years, it's just like talking to a wall. So when you step off the path, you know, well lit by truth, only the false dim light of hell can guide you as you stumble towards hell. This is why people don't get their prayers answered in the world today. This is why none of them can understand prophecy. This is why there's over 40,000 different denominations that spun off from the Roman Catholic Church. And they, you know, here's the weird thing, and this is like a catch-22 in theology, I guess, but it's bad on their end, and it's difficult on our end to try to explain it when they come up and they say, oh, you Protestants this, you Protestants that, you fundies. That's their favorite word, fundamentalists, which they declare is evil. And a basic definition of a fundamentalist is one that trusts the Bible and the Bible only. You know, sola scriptura, they have a big problem with that because the Bible exposes them. So, of course, we're fundies. But they keep on coming up with the excuse that you got to come back to Rome. You got to come back to Rome. You guys have all split up and you formed all these different denominations all over the world and all this confusion. But they never say, and we were the ones that taught you how to do it. Because every single solitary denomination is based in Roman Catholicism. They all have the same doctrines. They don't all have the same on each creed, but For example, they all believe in eternal life after death. They all believe, screaming in hell for all eternity. You know, not just like it says in the book of Malachi about us walking on their ashes or their eyes melting in their sockets. No, they're going to stay alive for all eternity, according to them, and they all believe in a Sunday Sabbath, including the SDA Church now. They got dozens and dozens of Seventh-day Adventist churches that keep Sunday holy, and this is why I think they're starting to change. Well, actually, they did this for a few years. They started to change how they put their name out there. No longer, a lot of the preachers, they don't come up and, well, the mainstream SDA 501c3 type pastors come up and they a lot of them have stopped saying or calling themselves Seventh-day Adventists. They just call themselves Adventists. Because that allows them to declare that they believe in the second advent, which is the return of Christ, which they could easily say at the end of that 3.5 years, if that bogus prophecy of the Jesuits is allowed to go forth, where they say there's going to be a 7-year trib. Which is also confusing because it's, you know, but then you got the guys out there that got the mid, the post, and the pre-trib stuff. So it's confusing the masses, and it's done for a reason. And yeah. And so, but as prophesied, this was expected for these last days. And so keep praying and stay in your Bibles, like we were talking about this last night. These little lies that come along and catch you off guard and make it difficult for you to get back on the path, and it makes you feel like you're grieving the Holy Spirit. They're going to be harder and harder and harder for Satan to get to you by, because if you stay in the Scriptures daily, not just once a week, you got to read it every. I will not start a day without reading His Word. I cannot do that, because I don't care how many decades I'm in the Bible, I still don't know it all. None of us can. We're going to be studying this all throughout eternity. And there's a reason it's done that way. You stay close to Christ. He is the Word made flesh. So when you read His Word, you're sitting right there with Him next to you. And He's telling you things. And every now and then, even though you've read the verse 100 times, let's say, there's something comes out of it like, wow, I never looked at it that way. And there's a reason for that, because the devil's going to attack you in a certain way in the next couple, 3 days or months or whatever the case may be. And had you not known that simple new, and it's just a little tiny little piece of truth, you'd have been caught off guard and fallen off the path. But if you stay in the Word, those little darts, because that's why it's called darts in the Scripture. He can't throw the whoppers at you until he gets a hold of your toe and he starts grabbing on the leg and pulls you off the path. It's not easy to walk when you got something dangling on one of your legs. So, this has all been expected. These are the last days, so keep praying and keep staying in your Bibles, because if the ordained leaders of the fallen churches are that easy to lure off the track, and these guys went to college to learn their Bibles and study their Bibles, and they studied their Bibles for many years before they even went to college, and that's when they got the okay from their church family to be funded in college, a lot of these guys, well, that's where your faith actually gets destroyed. It's kind of like a person that's born with the artistic ability going to an art college or a college where they teach the fine arts. It destroys their abilities because they all know, do it our way. I says, well, why? I have a different way of looking at it. I don't know. Who cares? But I knew a preacher many, many years ago who was thinking of going to the colleges, and he was sitting there, and I'll end with this because we're running late. Well, I got 1 minute left anyway. He was sitting there at registration waiting to come in, and everybody that was coming in was specifically, it was a Christian college. It was designed just for ministers. It was a seminary. And so he's sitting there waiting, and, like a bunch of guys are all just sitting there in line, and one person after another goes up and starts filling out or handing in the forms that they're filling out while they're sitting there. You know, like when you go to a doctor's office and everybody's filling out the forms and you're talking to each other. Well, same thing here. And so he's filling out the forms with everybody else, but he's keeping quiet. He's just listening to the conversation in the room. After about 20, 30 minutes, he told me, he says he got up, put his form on his seat, put the pencil on the form, walked out, never walked back in. I says, why? He says, the conversations between all these so-called preachers and what these guys were doing that were, you know, that were filling or helping them with the forms, this is not a Christian college. And it wasn't. They were going to teach you how to make money, because that's what they all were talking about. Prosperity preaching. They were in it for the money, not for the souls, just like the prophecy said. And so if it was easy for them to get pulled off the path, how easy would it be for you? But here's the difference. If you read your Bible every day, like they didn't, I mean, they did for a while, but they obviously started seeing dollar signs. You know, wherever the toehold is, he's going to go for it. So hope and pray you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. I'll be back in a minute.